Coming up on today's show.
I play for the team Hulon, which is, yeah, like you said, just outside of Tel Aviv. And it's a 40-minute drive from Jerusalem, 1.5 hour drive to Nazareth, and another 45 minutes from there to Sea of Galilee and Capernaum and Mount Tabor.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net. A reminder, in case you have not seen it yet, that 3 weeks ago I uploaded a new video to the official YouTube channel where I talk about how I managed to get all these guests week after week, month after month, year after year for this show. The fact is, at the top of the website, there are links to Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram, so you can engage with me and the show that way. Again, head to CatholicSportsRadio.net and look for those logos, those links for whichever platform or platforms, plural, you enjoy using. A reminder, too, about the Catholic Sports Radio community. That is the Facebook group, which is free to join, by the way, and which you can also find a link for on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Remember, too, that any and all of those give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email. In the case of the latter, you can write to me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. And stick around, because I have a giveaway to tell you about during this episode. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. If a coach gives their players a new strategy to implement, but all they do is listen and maybe even go so far as to ask questions and or recite some of it back, yet don't get out on the court or the field or the ice and carry it out, what was the point? Or think, say, about a pitcher who is struggling and either gets sent down to the minors and or gets some one-on-one time working with the team's pitching coach, yet goes back out on the mound and just reverts back to the same old routine, the bad habits that got him in trouble in the first place. The key word, the key step here is taking action. Last week at his general audience, Pope Francis said that the most powerful and effective method of evangelization is to live according to what one teaches and preaches. In St. Peter's Square, at his weekly general audience, he said, quote, "I can recite the creed by heart, I can talk about everything we believe in, but if your life is not consistent with that, it will get you nowhere." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is a pro basketball player competing in Israel in the Basketball Champions League for a team called Hapoel Hulon BC. He has also played for teams in Denmark, the Czech Republic, France, and Spain after having played at both the University of Wyoming and Central Wyoming College. In his final season with the University of Wyoming, he earned a number of honors and was profiled in the USA Today. He had enjoyed a successful career as a high school basketball player, culminating with being named first team All-Continental League as a senior. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Hayden Dalton.
Hi, Bruce. How are you doing? Thank you for having me. Honored and blessed to be here and speaking with you.
Yeah, this is exciting. I'm trying to think of guests who have been on this show who are related to each other. Hayden is now in that category because almost 1 year ago to the day, it was the May 30th, 2022 episode, which was number 174. My guest was Nicole Scotch, who had an extensive career in volleyball and is Hayden's sister.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to pretend that everyone listening to this episode heard that one. And besides that, it's good to get a different perspective and give Hayden the same opportunity that his sister had. So Hayden, tell us about your childhood and what you remember about the Catholic faith in your household as a young boy.
I remember, first of all, listening to that episode with Nicole, and she connected us, so just thankful for her, and she's an amazing sister, for sure. Speaking of sisters and brothers, yeah, for my childhood, like you said, I'm the third of seven, and Nicole is one one above me. So there's four girls, three boys. But we have big, crazy family, and been Catholic, cradle Catholic. And, you know, our parents have always been faithful and raised us to know right from wrong, to know the reasons why. And all of us are practicing Catholics right now. So praise the Lord for that. And, you know, I would just attribute that to our parents just always teaching us right and wrong, and not only right and wrong, but the whys of right and wrong, and the whys of the church, and but also giving us that freedom to learn and grow. They always gave us the freedom to fail, the freedom to learn through failure, the freedom to, you know, choose and, you know, kind of deal with the consequences. Or, you know, they didn't give us unlimited freedom by any means, but they balanced out the teaching us and also giving us our freedom. So I think it was a great childhood overall, and we're a very big competitive sports team who were playing volleyball or basketball, if not that. We're competing in a card game or board game, or, you know, we're just a big family, and always having fun, or sometimes too much fun leads to fighting, and too much competitive leads to fighting. But yeah. So I would just attribute that all to our parents being amazing, amazing parents and leading us in the right direction.
So if people saw you now, I believe you're 6'9". So this would be an obvious question if I was referring to present day. But how did basketball become your sport? Was it the first and only sport you started into, or were there others?
No, definitely not. Basketball has definitely been something I had never planned, and definitely what God planned for me, for sure. Like I said before, my family is a big sports family and everything, but mainly volleyball was kind of our family sport. We have cousins who lived in the neighborhood who are kind of all older than us, for the most part. And the guys and the girls from our cousins on that side, they played volleyball. And so growing up with my two older sisters who both played volleyball at the collegiate level and at a very high level, I always played up on their team, being the one boy on the team who was allowed to play on the girls' team. And then I eventually, once I reached, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15, I played club volleyball. And that was kind of my main sport. Played basketball here and there, never played the AAU or club basketball ever. And then, like you said, I'm 6'9" now, but I didn't hit my growth spurt until late, until maybe 16 or 17. I really started to grow, and that's when I kind of dropped volleyball and started basketball. And I was a very good volleyball player. Just our family were all good volleyball players. And a lot of people ask me why I changed over to basketball. I don't have a reason. It just kind of that's what happened, like I said, a God thing. And I dropped volleyball around 15, 16, and then took basketball more serious. And but I also played all throughout high school. I played volleyball, basketball, and tennis. Just always had a love for sports and competing. Yeah,
I mentioned in the intro about your having played high school basketball, but that was a public high school. So what were you doing for religious education during that period of your life?
Just through the church mainly. Like I said before, my parents were always our main, and I think that's a big thing that a lot of families can hit or miss, is that the family is, and the parents are the first and foremost teachers of the faith, and forming their children. So I would attribute it to my parents mainly. But in high school, a lot of youth group, a lot of religious camps. I remember going on like a father-son camping trip up in Wyoming with my dad. That was, I'm not sure who that was led by, but definitely like Catholic-based. Different things like that, formation through. I went to my senior year in high school, all throughout, I went to like kind of a deep theology study, Bible study, theology study class. Things like that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's fast forward ahead to the college years. You were from Colorado, but went to school in Wyoming. Going away to school, did you slip into the mom and dad aren't around to see what I'm doing mode, meaning maybe the party scene and or the I don't need to go to church mindset? Were you maybe all about basketball? What did your life look like during your college years?
Yes. You're just kind of leading me into one of my, I guess you'd call it a testimony, but yes, to keep a long story short, yes, I definitely explored the wild side of college for sure, however you want to say it. Mm. But yeah, I went to my first year, I went to a junior college because I was still growing. And I, like I said, started basketball seriously at 16, 17. And then I went to the university. And when I got to the university, it was just kind of boom, like you said, the party scene, the mom and dad aren't around. And that first year at university, crazy year. And I almost got kicked off the team for smoking marijuana.
Wow.
Got caught two times doing this. And just I was always a good kid, never went to the principal's office, never got in trouble, followed the rules, was honest, told the truth to my parents when I did something wrong, you know. And then I went to college and really just, yeah, got wrapped into this world and the evil of all of that.
Yeah, but Satan rolled out the welcome mat for you at college.
Yeah, exactly. But like I was saying before, I think it's just I know that it's a God thing with that he allowed me, you know, this free will of God allowed me to do that. Because my first year at the junior college, I was with Focus. There's not Focus at the junior college, but I did the fundraising, and Focus is the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. I'm sure you're familiar.
Mm-hmm.
But they do mission trips on spring breaks in the summer and stuff for college kids. And so you sign up, you get approved, and you fundraise. So I was fundraising all year and preparing all the documents and everything to go to Calcutta, India for 1 month after my freshman year at the junior college. Everything prepared, I fundraised, I did everything, blah, blah, blah. And you have to apply for a travel visa to India. And I went, and for some reason, obviously for God's reasons, but I eventually got denied. And I was waiting all the way up until the trip. Everybody else, 30 plus kids, got approved. Mm. And then my visa got denied after I had put in all the work to fundraise. And got denied, and so I couldn't go on the trip. Literally, I wouldn't be allowed in the country.
Hmm.
And this just kind of hit me like, boom, like, wow, like, God, I was trying. What do you, you know, I was trying to go serve, and what's the deal with this? And then 4 days later, when I was supposed to be in India, University of Wyoming called, and they hadn't been recruiting me or nothing. They said, hey, we heard about you, we saw a little video, why don't you come take a visit? We got one scholarship left, we're looking at you and one other guy. I go take a visit with my parents. I play open gym with the team, play really well. They sit me down, offer me the scholarship. The coach said, hey, why don't you just drive home, 2-hour drive, think about it, talk about it with your parents. I said, hey, coach, I'll stop you right there. I don't have any other Division I offers.
Wow.
I'm coming to play here.
Mm.
So that was amazing. And the story continues. I'm trying to make it as fast as I can. Long story. But I go in that first year at the University of Wyoming, like we previously talked about, the devil rolled out the carpet. And, you know, I was just doing everything everybody else was. And I got caught and almost kicked off the team for the marijuana. And that was right at the end of our season. And we had finished the season. And all of a sudden, my mom says, hey, remember how Focus said that they will keep your funds for a mission trip? Why don't you see if you can jump on a mission trip last minute? Spring break, because spring break was the next week. And it was literally, I think, 1 week before. And this is, you know, we talked to the people at Focus right away. We called, tried to see, because my mom just knew I needed Jesus. I needed something, you know. And it was just by divine grace that I was able to join this trip. At first they said, oh, no way. There's no way you can join a mission trip 1 week before. But after we check everything, they said, hey, there's a spot on this Ecuador trip. Someone canceled. And, you know, you don't have to get a visa to go there. You just need a flight ticket, and you're more than welcome. You have the funds that you previously fundraised.
Mm.
And I was in Ecuador the week after my world fell apart and I thought I was getting kicked off the team, and just all of a sudden surrounded by faithful Catholic people, just holy people. And we went to the poor part of Ecuador and served and helped rebuild the church. And the people there were so generous and so kind in their poverty and so hospitable, like more hospitable than most people in America I'd ever met. And they had nothing, you know?
Wow.
So God just took me out of my world where in my mind I had everything. Oh, I made it to the big university. I'm on the basketball team. I'm this, that, and the other. And, you know, and he just humbled the heck out of me and said, this is what life is. This is what true happiness, experience happiness. And on that trip, I could say that I'll end with this on for this story, but I could say that's the first time I truly encountered Jesus in the Eucharist and saw him and his, you know, his body. I can't, you know, the Eucharist is a mystery in and of itself. And so amazing. So I can't put it into words, but that's the first time that I truly experienced and took that faith and just really said, wow, like Jesus, you're real. And I understand and I thank you. And so, long story short, it was God took me on a little ride and but it was amazing. So
great testimony. Wow, that's a great, I'm going to say, a great way to start off the show. We're 15 minutes in, but that's a tremendous story. Hayden, when people look you up online, they're going to see 2018 NBA draft undrafted. So did you have expectations of getting drafted? Were you hoping maybe to sign with an NBA team as an undrafted free agent? What was your mindset then? And how much time were you spending in prayer about whether becoming a pro basketball player was what the Lord had in store for you or not?
Yeah, like you said, undrafted, but I did after college. If teams are interested in you, they can bring you for workouts. They'll fly you out and bring six guys to a workout and just work you guys out. You'll play. And so I did, I think, three or four of those workouts and the summer after. And then I ended up making the Nuggets Summer League team, which every summer the NBA has in Las Vegas, they have the NBA Summer League where the young guys who are already with the team and then college guys or guys from the G League, the developmental league of the NBA, are trying to make it. So I ended up going and playing with the Denver Nuggets, which was cool to play for the home team. And but I didn't get much opportunity to play. I wasn't mentally prepared for that, I would say, or just the pressure of it. The NBA was a whole nother level, and I was just so nervous sometimes. And I wasn't mentally prepared for that. But also at that time, I would say, even after this story that I told about Ecuador, and honestly, I wasn't at the spiritual maturity level, I don't think, to really prayerfully discern. I think I would pray and say, God, do you want me to do it? But it wasn't, I didn't have the true still trust or faith. You know, I was still, he was still working on me, like he's still working on all of us.
Yeah, interesting.
But
interesting.
I don't think I could sit here honestly and say that I was, I think God just led me to, you know, gave me the opportunity to be able to play. But after that summer league, then I ended up, you know, I had an agent and he said, okay, you can go overseas and try that out and see how you like it. And so now I've played over here for, this will be my fifth season.
Yeah, in fact, folks, wait until you hear what time it is where Hayden is right now. But I have a giveaway to announce. As I mentioned at the start of this episode, this is usually where I ask you to prayerfully consider supporting my ministry, since I'm just a one-person operation and I don't get any income from doing this, nor do I have any sponsors. But if you've been listening long enough, by now you know how you can do that. The blue Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net, or email me or contact me through social media for details on sending me a check through the mail. Instead, I want to use the time during this part of the show this week to tell you about how you can win a copy of the children's book that you heard Aaron Brostel mention 3 weeks ago on episode 224. Maybe you have a child or a grandchild that this would be good for, or a niece or nephew, or just basically some 0 to 5 year old that would enjoy it. It's a picture book called God Made the Moonlight. You can look up the book online if you so desire, but Aaron has been kind enough to give me a copy so that I can give one away. All you need to do to enter is to write to me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net and let me know that you heard about the book giveaway and would like to be entered to win. This will run all throughout June, so get your email to me by 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday night, June 30th, and then I will draw one lucky winner on Saturday, July 1st, and the winner will be contacted then. Please only enter one time. I'm even going to be posting a picture of me holding the book. I'll put it on the Catholic Sports Radio Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram accounts. Get your entry in to me via email, and good luck. Hayden, here you are present day living in Israel, and folks, how great is it that Hayden is kind enough to be recording with me at what was midnight his time when we first started recording, so 5 o'clock p.m. for me in Florida. I think that tells you that he's proud of and happy to talk about his Catholic faith. But Hayden, anyhow, there you are living in Tel Aviv. What has it been like living in the Holy Land for the last one plus year?
Oh, man. I could talk about it for the next 2 or 3 hours for sure and not be tired even late here. But no, my... no worries about it being late. My season just finished today. We lost in the semifinals today. So I'll actually be heading home soon. It's a bittersweet feeling because I'll be sad to leave Israel. But I'm always excited to be home every summer for the off season and see all the family and friends. Israel has been the biggest blessing of my life, by far. I can't say enough about it. I play for the team Hulon, which is, like you said, just outside of Tel Aviv. And it's a 40-minute drive from Jerusalem, 1.5 hour drive to Nazareth, and another 45 minutes from there to Sea of Galilee and Capernaum and Mount Tabor. So I've been around and seen all the holy sites multiple times. My parents came and visited. My two older sisters just came and visited. Nicole was here with her. Pray for her. She's pregnant with her third. So just things like that for my family to be able to come out here and me to be able to personally take them to the holy sites. And I've gotten to know things and know my way around well enough for it to just be awesome. God has blessed I could say by far this has been the most spiritual growth that I've had in any season or year of my life by far, just because, I don't know, if anybody listening, if you've never been to Israel or you're debating it or whatever, wherever you're at, start saving up for a trip to the Holy Land, because, and no matter at what point of your faith you're at, it's indescribable to be. Have you ever been here?
I have not.
Oh, okay, well, start saving up. I'll suggest that to you too. It's hard to put in words again. It gives you a different view on your faith, and to really be here, to be in the places where Jesus walked, where his apostles walked. And also one of the most beautiful things that I've really just connected God's whole love story of the Bible, of humanity, of this earth, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, being able to experience Jewish culture and Jewish traditions and to celebrate Jewish holidays with my neighbors who have me over for Shabbat all the time and for the Passover. To be able to go celebrate the Passover dinner with my neighbors and then go to Holy Thursday and Good Friday Mass during Holy Week, and then obviously Easter. It just kind of gives you that fullness of, like I said, God's love story and just how beautiful, beautiful his love and mercy and his covenant to us, from the old covenant with all the old prophets to the new covenant of Jesus and the church and his Eucharist, the Eucharist and his body and blood in the Eucharist and It's just it just brings me like happiness to talk about it because I never would have thought ever. I like I said before, I didn't even know I wanted to play basketball in high school, let alone college, let alone professional. And for God to lead me here to Israel is just changed my life for the better. You know, it's it gets me emotional talking about it because I, you know, God is, even when you're not faithful, God is faithful, you know. Even when we're lazy and unfaithful and forgetful, he's faithful. And
Well, and folks, Hayden and I are just meeting for the first time, and I can just tell by listening to him, as I'm sure you can as well, how truly impactful this has been for him being over there. Hayden, you say that you are Opus Dei affiliated. For those that don't know, explain to the audience what that means.
So that I could tell a whole nother story about that, but basically, Opus Dei is started by Saint Jose Maria Escriva, who was a Spanish priest who started the Opus Dei order of priests, and now they have houses and centers all over the world. And I played in Spain last year, like you said, for a short time, for maybe 1 month, 1 month and a half. And 2 minute walk from my apartment where I lived in a small city in Spain was Saint Jose Maria Escriva Parish. And so I went there, I mean, right around the block. It was amazing. So I went there for daily mass, holy hours, and I got to know the priests decently well through my, you know, my half broken Spanish, but was an amazing priest. And then when I told him I will be changing teams and I'm going to Israel, he said, "Oh, like, wow, I'm sad to see you go, but I will connect you with the Opus Dei house in Israel." And they have a house and a center here right outside this old city, Jerusalem. And so they've been just so gracious. And ever since I came here last season, and then when I came back this season, I've been there a bunch of times. Every time I go to Jerusalem, I park my car there and I walk 5 minutes and you're inside the old city. You know, it's just amazing in terms of that, because the parking here, you pay for parking. It's crazy if you're gonna pay for parking all day, you know. So that but they've welcomed me for dinners, and so slowly this year I've grown more and more close, and I have I could say probably one of my best friends now is one of the priests there. His name is Father Alvaro. He's from Mexico City, but he's been here in Jerusalem with Opus Dei for 14 years, and he's amazing. He brews his own beers at the center there, Opus Dei, and he's just a joyful, awesome guy. He's kind of led me in just, I would call it, not almost, yeah, spiritual direction, but like unofficial spiritual direction, just through friendship, you know. And but the whole thing with Opus Dei, that Saint Jose Maria, I think he died in 1970s, 75 maybe, so he's a recent saint, but he just the daily life, he didn't say, "Oh, you have to sell all your goods and go to India and work with the poor for the rest of your life," you know. This is some people's calling, but his whole kind of mantra or thing for Opus Dei was just be Jesus for others in your daily life. Simply live out the service life and be joy-filled and serve others and be Jesus to others, just where you're at, where God has placed you at. And I just really connect with this and like this, and all the people there are so joy-filled. So I just did it recently, but I'm what they call like a cooperator with Opus Dei, or a corporator. But basically, you know, it's just, I say that you know, am with them through prayer and things like this, and they pray for me and things like that. But you can also be a Opus Dei priest, a numerary, which is like consecrated celibate life in Opus Dei, and also work and then live at the Opus Dei house. So they just have a beautiful community, and they've welcomed me in and blessed me tremendously.
Well,
So
and how fitting that you described what Saint Jose Maria Escriva's mantra was, because it really does kind of come full circle with the ministry moment that I gave earlier in this episode, and Pope Francis saying that if your life is not consistent with that, it will get you nowhere. So Pope Francis was saying the exact same thing that Jose Maria Escriva was preaching, which was, as you said, to live and outwardly show your faith in your everyday life. And you also mentioned to me in the lead up to today about being consecrated. Elaborate on that for us too, if you would.
Yeah, that definitely. Mary and Saint Joseph, I have both and they're growing ever more deeper as I'm learning. And I think a consecration is, before I thought, a few years ago, I thought it was just kind of like, oh, you consecrate yourself. But now I've learned, you know, it's a lifelong commitment, journey, covenant, and just a beautiful thing to be able to be. I've recently done, I think the first time I did the St. Joseph consecration was with my family. Mm. A few years ago, our family, with all of my grandparents and aunts and uncles, and some of us get on a Zoom call every Sunday, and we do, we'll read through books together, watch Bible study videos, faith video, anything, you know. And so we did the 33-day consecration to St. Joseph, and that just really kind of opened me up to all of that. And then I did recently, through the Holo app, I don't know if I would suggest that to any of your listeners as well, the Holo, Hallow, they have amazing content on there for daily prayer, rosaries, anything. But they had a St. Joseph consecration during the month of Mary too. But also, yeah, just the consecration to our mother. And I think it's just a beautiful thing to be able to, they were the two closest people to Jesus on earth. They raised him, and the more and more you contemplate in prayer and meditate with Mary and Joseph about Jesus, and they just open you up, and they lead you by the hand to Jesus, and they just help you tremendously to learn from Jesus, to learn from them, to I love the litany of Saint Joseph and just all the different virtues and attributes that you can pray. Saint Joseph the Worker, Saint Joseph the Father, most chaste spouse, you know. It's just and also the Virgin Mary as well. So I would definitely recommend to anyone to just learn first of all about consecrations and be open to Mary and Joseph for sure, because they can lead you to Jesus. They're the closest to him on earth and in heaven. So it's been a blessing.
And folks, I'll send you back again to episode 174 when Hayden's sister Nicole was the guest. She talked on that episode about what you heard Hayden refer to, the Sunday night family Zoom calls, which I found really interesting. So if you never heard my interview with Nicole, go back and listen to that one. Listen to her describe that, as well as everything else that she shared. And also, you heard Hayden mention the Holo app. Actor Mark Wahlberg was a guest on this show, and he didn't talk then when I interviewed him, but he posts all the time on his social media about that app. So yeah. Hayden is in good company in terms of people that endorse that app for sure.
Yeah, no, he has. I like listening to him on there. He has a good voice, Mark. So he's always good on there for sure.
Let's turn this a little bit into a traditional sports talk show. First of all, you mentioned, unfortunately, that your team lost tonight. So sorry to hear that. I guess the season is over with. But secondly, how closely are you and maybe your teammates over there following the NBA Finals from way over on another continent?
Yeah, we follow it pretty close. Obviously, it's hard to catch any of the games because I think most of all the games have been like starting at 3:30 or 4 a.m. here in the playoffs. So it's just unrealistic to to be able to watch the games. But we always see the highlights. And of course, that's the first thing we talk about in the locker room, you know, the day after all the games. And some guys are making bets, or, oh, I got the Nuggets, oh, I got the Celtics, or, you know, and it's always fun to be around and everyone giving their opinions and arguing and saying who's better, whatever. But I'm happy to see the Nuggets. We're from Denver and grew up there and grew up going to the Nuggets games. And they've built their team. They've built that team. They've kept the coach for a while, and they all just seem like a lot of humble guys, and they just play the basketball the right way. You know, they play as a team, share the ball, and I just love the way they play. So it's just been awesome to see the Nuggets. I'm hoping to maybe go to a game when I get home, but I think the tickets are a little too expensive.
So this team that you're playing on, how many Americans besides yourself are on the team versus how many are actual Israelis that are, I'll say, local? Maybe they're not necessarily just from Tel Aviv, but I'm curious as to what the breakdown is of the roster.
Here on my team, we have there's five other Americans, so six including myself, and then I think we have about 14 guys, including there's always some young guys on the team who just practice and never have the chance to play, but including, I think we have, so there's I think eight or nine Israeli guys, and one guy on our team is a French guy, but he's considered Israeli because his family has Jewish roots, so he has a Israeli passport now, so he counts as an Israeli.
And so of everything that you told us about all that you've experienced in your Catholic faith as you've been living there, has that all been in a vacuum, meaning by yourself, or do you share your Catholic faith with any of your basketball teammates over there?
No, definitely. It's been a cool experience, like I was talking about before, experiencing the Jewish culture. And obviously here in Israel, there's some people who are religious, just like people in the Catholic, Christian, any faith. You know, there's some people who are religious and follow the rules, but then there's other people who are just Jewish. They call themselves Jewish and they live life as they please, you know? So, and that's main. I think a couple of my teammates do some of the prayers, and we'll read the Old Testament or the four books of Moses, the Torah and but that's been a cool thing for me to experience and to be able to share my faith, but also learn their knowledge or lack of knowledge, or kind of have these debates, or, because the Jewish people are still waiting for the Messiah and they don't think Jesus was the Messiah. That was never anything I really thought about too much, until I came here and truly experienced that. Wow, there's these people are still. And it's sad to see because the 4%, only 4% of the country is Christian here. The other majority is Jewish, and then the other majority is Muslim. But definitely we have a lot of locker room talks, and some of my other American teammates are Christian, and they don't practice very much, but they'll jump in and know a little bit about the Bible and the history and the Old Testament, and we'll just talk about different things. Or what's been really cool, I guess the biggest thing for me is debating with a couple of my teammates or just random people. Or for example, a guy at the grocery store who's always over at the grocery store, and he'll stand at the front of the grocery store and pray with people there before he's Jewish guy. And, is kind of been cool for me to try to defend Jesus. And it's given me that challenge of learning, like I was talking about before, the truly learning the Old Testament, truly learning Jesus's fulfillment. I'm reading a book right now, I'm about halfway through, called Jesus and the Jewish Roots of the Eucharist. Unlocking the Secrets of the Last Supper by Brant Petrie, and wow, it's an amazing, amazing read. And just kind of what Jesus did at the Last Supper through the Eucharist, through his cross, death, and resurrection to fulfill the old covenant and truly, I've definitely, it's just been awesome to be able to learn the Jewish roots, but also kind of debate this and learn myself more. It's challenged me to know my faith more and more, and to not just live my faith, but know why Jesus is the Messiah and why he truly fulfilled, the covenants from all the prophets in the Old Testament. And so it's been really cool and definitely a growth for me as well.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. You were kind enough to share the good news with us that we should be praying for Nicole with a new baby on the way. But as we wrap this up, please share with us what the road looks like ahead for you so we can keep you in prayer, because as you mentioned, your season is now over and you'll be coming back to the States. Will you be guaranteed to be back in Israel next year? What does all that look like so that we can pray for your basketball career and obviously the continued growth of your spiritual life?
Definitely. Right now, the season is over and I only had a 1 year contract here. So I have no idea where I will be next season. There's a lot of unknowns with this team going into next year, whether we'll have new coach, new management, I don't know. So I don't think I will be back here, but there's a possibility, possibly, that I could play on the team in Jerusalem. The coach likes me. They're a good team and they play team basketball. And, but you never know, till you sign the contract in professional sports. It's something I've learned. So definitely just prayers overall for my future, for my future vocation. I've been praying more and more and just being open to saying, God, what do you want me to continue to play basketball? Do you want me to, I feel like I have a desire to be married in my heart and share, you know, this life with someone else and raise a family. But also sometimes I feel called to the priesthood. So, just prayers for my future vocation, for my future teams, just wherever God is leading me, and for me to trust in that, I guess. So
yeah, for sure, for sure. Wow. Hayden, God bless you. It's been so wonderful having you on the show, and thank you for staying up late to be on Catholic Sports Radio.
No, thank you so much. I'm more than happy to, for sure. So season is over. I don't have to wake up early for training or anything like that. So no worries.
All right. And folks, as a nod to the many, many years that Hayden has spent playing basketball, let's close this week's episode with an athlete's prayer and do it together, of course, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear God, today is game day and I place myself in your loving hands. Help me to be a good sport. I pray that I do not seek individual glory or accolades, but rather that I play for your glory and for the good of my team. I pray that all who play this game today are protected from physical harm. And my Lord, help me to accept the bad breaks as part of the game. I pray that I play to the best of my ability and to give honor to you by accepting my position and my place in the lineup. Loving God, I pray for those who watch from the stands that they too give glory to you by accepting without prejudice the rules and decisions of the game today. May their hearts be filled with joy and gladness that you have given them the ultimate gifts they watch this day, the players. Dear God, I pray for the coaches and referees that they too experience your loving guidance in the decisions they make today, for those who work behind the scenes to make this day enjoyable, and for the founders and supporters. Finally, I pray to you, loving God, that you enjoy this game today and bestow on each of us wisdom and acceptance, no matter the outcome of the final score. With you in our hearts, we are all winners. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.